today's New Testament lesson, just giving us a glimpse of what the Word says about the Holy Spirit. And this is going to have to be limited, but Romans 8, 5 through 17, and I'm going to intersperse the reading with the teaching. So I'm going to begin with prayer today, if you'd bow with me. Mighty God, we thank you for your Word that leads us into your truth. We can never know the fullness of who you are, but we thank you that you have bent low to us and revealed yourself to us in human words that we can understand. And you send your Holy Spirit to plant these words within us and to open our eyes and our ears to see you and to hear you. So we thank you for your faithful work. Come, Holy Spirit, be our teacher. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, starting with Romans 8, starting with verse, I'm going to read 5 to 11 just to start us out. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There's more there than we can cover in the next few minutes, but this is a good introduction to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit moves in ways that are not always obvious to us, but at the heart of what the Spirit does, the Holy Spirit of God is the life giver. The Holy Spirit of God lifts us up from death to life. I remember the book of Ephesians says, you were once dead, not sick, not running a temperature, dead in your trespasses and sins. In other words, completely helpless. Not able to climb up out of that grave and reach toward God. But only because the Holy Spirit of God breathed his life into you and called you from death to life. Gave you a whole new outlook on life based on things that our physical senses can't take in, don't take in. But when you first bowed the knee to Jesus Christ and became a Christian, the Holy Spirit was doing a miracle of uniting you to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. We've been united with him in his death, says the Apostle Paul. And now we've been united with him in his resurrection. The New Testament teaches from cover to cover the believer's union with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We become one with Jesus. That's how we're saved. His righteousness becomes our righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we begin to get new vision. There's another New Testament verse that we sing quite often. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. George MacDonald, who was a Christian writer in the early 20th century, he had a great influence on C.S. Lewis. George MacDonald said that the Christian life is a journey of growing eyes. We learn to see the world in a new way. And we learn to see the world based not just on visible things, but on invisible things, the work of the Spirit. Let me give you an illustration that may shed light on the work of the Spirit. I don't know a whole lot about the weather, except that I'm really liking the weather today. And I'm really thankful to having get up and saw that it was such a beautiful morning, that you're here instead of on the green belt someplace. Thank you for coming. But there's a weather phenomenon that I'm sure you're probably familiar with. It's called El Niño, right? It's currents in the Pacific Ocean that a very slight warming in the surface temperature of the ocean has a huge effect on our weather. It's this invisible thing that we can't see, and yet it has tremendous influence over us, doesn't it? Because if it moves, it actually affects the jet stream, and the jet stream affects where the storms hit North America. The storms moving from out of the Pacific and onto our west coast, and it can create a deluge in Alaska and the Canadian coast and Washington, while California is bone dry. It's powerful, and it has a huge influence. Now, we sometimes tend to deal with our Christian experience in the same way we deal with the weather. I remember that Mark Twain famously said, "Everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it." Sometimes we treat the work of the Holy Spirit the same way. That there's really not a whole lot that I can do to influence what the Holy Spirit does. Well, let me give you an image. The Holy Spirit is faithful, and the Holy Spirit is available with power for you. And I can't influence the Holy Spirit, and really don't need to, but I can hoist my sails for the wind of the Spirit to blow. I can spend the time that I need to in prayer. I can be in God's Word. I can be in fellowship with other believers. That's lifting your sail, brothers and sisters. Now, Paul, here, this teaching in Romans 8, he's teaching that there's this tremendous power available to us, kind of like El Nino, and it brings about real change in us. You may remember that Psalm number 1 says that the people of God are like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Okay, you yield fruit by having the root planted by the stream of water. First of all, let's just review some basics of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. We know we're sinners. And by the way, anybody that you ever talk to that'll say, "I'm not a sinner," does not have Christ in their life, does not have the Holy Spirit in their life. Because when you've been touched by the Holy Spirit, you'll say, "Yep, I'm a sinner, saved by grace." Jesus in John 16:8, Jesus says, "When the Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And sometimes this happens very subtly in our lives. It's not always, you know, being stricken with pangs of guilt, although sometimes it certainly is. But perhaps you've observed that sins you once enjoyed now bring no joy at all. Just leave you empty. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Perhaps you once enjoyed feeling superior and putting down people who were weaker than you, making fun of people. And now, none of those people have changed. They're all just as foolish as they ever were. But now you get no satisfaction out of that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Maybe there was a time in your life when your mission was to acquire things and to get money and influence. And now that mission just seems completely empty and pointless to you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've had the experience of reading Scripture and reading a very familiar text that you've read a zillion times before, but all of a sudden you're reading it and words just start popping off of the page and jumping right into your heart, and you're hearing it in a whole new way. That's the Holy Spirit at work. By the way, pray every time you open the Bible. Every time you sit down for your morning quiet time or your evening quiet time or whenever it is you have your quiet time, pray first before you read the Bible. Pray, Holy Spirit, come. Help me to understand your word. Or maybe worship. Maybe there was a time in your life when worship was just doing your religious duty on Sunday morning, going through the motions, counting the light fixtures. But then maybe there came a point in your life when suddenly you felt the power and the presence of God in worship. That's the Holy Spirit at work. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life, I really think that, and we're never perfected. We don't get close to perfection in this life. If you've ever had that burden put on you, you just slough that off right now. We are going to be sinners, and we're going to be broken people until the day we are completely and fully renewed and made whole and glorified in the presence of our Savior. But I do think that there's something going on in us by the power of the Holy Spirit that's sort of like learning to drive a car. Remember when you first started learning to drive a car and you were scared to death because there was 50 different things to think about and to think about them all at the same time? And now, if you're like me, please don't let this scare you. We've been in the office on Wildwood over here. We've been in there how many months? Since October sometime? November? When did we first get? November, thank you. I've only been going to that office since November, and I can already drive from my garage to the front of that office without a conscious thought passing through my mind. It's autopilot. There are Christian ways of being and relating that when you first become a Christian, you really have to work at. You have to work really hard at being merciful toward others and being forgiving toward others. You have to work really hard at not demanding your own way all the time. And I'm not saying we're ever completely free of that, but it is kind of the work of the Spirit, kind of like driving a car. We develop new habits, and we begin to live new ways habitually, not because there's any goodness in us, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit enabling us, giving us a strength greater than our own. Now, I hope you still have your Bible open. I'm going to read verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I talked about the Holy Spirit's gift of conviction of sin. And that may not always feel like a gift at first, but it is. Oh, that's a gift. That's a gift of God's mercy and grace to convict us of our sinfulness. And then God gives, by the Holy Spirit, the gift of assurance. to assure us that we are the children of God. Listen to verse 15 again. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit testifying deeply to us that we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We're the children of God. We belong to Him. And we can even cry out, Abba, Papa. It's the term, an intimate term that a child could use to address their father. You remember the very familiar story of the prodigal son. He's off in the far country. When Jesus said, and Jesus says he's in his rebellion, he's squandered his inheritance, he's starving, he's tempted to eat the slop that he's feeding to the pigs. When he came to his senses, said Jesus, that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, conviction of sin. And so now he starts to make his way home, repentance. And on the way, remember, he practices a speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven. I picture him, he's on the Greyhound bus, and he's headed home to Parma. And he's practicing his speech before he gets back to the farm. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and before you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me back as one of your hired hands. And you remember what happened. He got off the bus, and the father saw him at a great distance and ran to him and threw his arms around him. The kid tries to get through his speech, and dad cuts him off. Bring out my coat and put it on him. Get the family ring and put it on his finger. Get that crown rib roast out of the freezer. We're going to celebrate because this, my son, was dead. And now he's alive. God's word tells us that the Spirit gives us that assurance of the Father throwing his arms around us and welcoming us as his children. We cry out, Abba, Father, because we belong to him. One final thought. And the reason I'm focusing on this gift of assurance, sometimes we associate the Holy Spirit with the more exotic gifts, prophesying, speaking in tongues, miraculous healing. And those are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those are real gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't doubt it. But first and foremost, gifts of the Spirit, conviction of sin, uniting us to Christ to give us life. And then the assurance. A little story about assurance. Years ago, I walked into a Sunday school classroom. There were like 5-year-old, 6-year-old kids. And the Sunday school teacher had put a drawing, a great big piece of paper with a drawing on it, on the wall, a drawing of a refrigerator door. And the teacher had a Polaroid camera and was taking... By the way, I have to explain it to the youngsters in the room. A Polaroid is a camera and a printer all in one. Anyway, the teacher had a Polaroid camera and was taking pictures of each one of the kids. And then the kids were put a little piece of tape on the back of their picture. And we're putting it up on God's refrigerator door. They got it. By the Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. He loves us. Let's go to God in prayer. Mighty Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that called us to yourself when we were dead in our sins and completely hopeless. You gave us life. By the Spirit, you united us to our Savior Jesus so that we don't have to walk by the flesh. We can walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, be shaped into people who serve your kingdom. Lord, I pray that everyone here especially if there's anyone here that's seeking that assurance of knowing you and the assurance that we are the children of God. I pray that you'll show yourself right now. Move with the power of your Spirit to draw those close to yourself, especially those who are wondering right now. But give everyone here that assurance that only your Spirit can give. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.